I love the rain. I love hearing the rain on the rooftop, especially when I'm inside and it's warm. That's about my favorite thing. I'm fresh off of a vacation with my lovely family to Southern California. I have a very giving brother-in-law that gave us some comp rooms at a hotel, and we went to the beach every day. Every day. We went to the beach, a different beach, Venice Beach, Santa Monica, Redondo, Mission Beach in San Diego, and with my family, and we boogie boarded, and we had a great time. It was awesome. But I don't miss the traffic. We had to drive about an hour every day to the beach. And today, tonight, just before I came to the service, I gave a friend of mine a ride to the Salt Lake Airport. I live in Sandy, and I was to the airport and home 40 minutes. I mean, it's like, yes, I love being in Salt Lake. After that, traffic just is incredible. It's bizarre. There's a sermon in that traffic. It's just crazy. Well, obviously, tonight, we need to pray, because I need to pray to ask God to help me out here, and then we'll get started. God, I thank you that you're real. God, I thank you that you're raining on us. God, that you love us, that you have something you want to show us tonight. God, thank you that you already did through the worship. You touched my heart, I'm sure many others. That's the kind of God you are, and I agree with that, God, that I want to shout to you. Thank you that you love me so much that it makes me want to shout. So tonight, God, you know that I'm just a bag of bones, and I need you bad today. So I pray that you would just show yourself, reveal yourself to us, show us something new. And just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to show a little video clip here to start off with. And I wanted to forewarn you that it's pretty graphic. So it's a medical scene. So if you're a person that's kind of queasy or you kind of have a hard time with things like that, you might want to turn your head, because it's from the movie Pearl Harbor, and it's kind of a rough scene. So, Micah, if you want to go ahead and run that.
Taught you how to fly, Lieutenant.
He did.
Hi, Bobby Johnson.
You gotta mark him. You gotta find someone to mark him so he keeps track. Who's got the morphine already?
Dan, tell me about your ship. What ship are you going to? Not marking. Not my. Have you got a marker?
Use my lipstick. Put M for morphine.
Edwin, we need a tourniquet.
Tourniquet.
Where's the gun?
I need you to go outside. There's too many to help. Okay, you gotta sort them out. Only those that can be saved you bring in here. You got that?
I can't.
No, please do it. I need you to do it. Go! Go!
Thank you.
Wow, what a way to start, huh? Sometimes for, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes life seems like a disaster. And then sometimes I think that I feel sometimes like I've just been in a life wreck. That's like a car wreck, only there's no car. So just your life's wrecked. And you know, sometimes the church can seem kind of like a MASH unit. And maybe even your home sometimes. It seems like somebody's always got something they're trying to deal with, or a marriage is busting up, or somebody is always struggling with something. I mean, if we really think about it, all of us have been wounded in some way in our life. All of us have been wounded. All of us have some type of, if nothing else, an emotional wound from something that's happened to us in the past. And sometimes for me, I meet a lot of people, and sometimes I feel like that nurse sometimes. I think, oh my goodness, did that really happen to you? And sometimes we get so busy trying to help people out that we turn back and maybe one of them fell away from God or something. And you go, oh man, maybe if I'd have been in their life more, maybe if I'd helped them more, maybe if I'd have been there, maybe if I'd have answered the phone that night. Maybe they wouldn't have fallen away. Maybe they wouldn't have died out. One difference from in that movie where they said that they couldn't save everyone. See, God can save everyone. God is here and He wants that none would perish. He wants to save every single one of them. And He is the God that can heal your wounds. You know, when I first started going to church, for myself, I was 37 years old, and I'm sure when I first went into church, they wanted to put the F for fatal on my head, because I had some issues going on, and I still do, and I'm trying to work through them. A lot of people are helping me with that, but I think a lot of us are like that. We come in, and we're wounded, man. We're hurting. A lot of us are critical, and maybe some of us are fatal. But God can heal those wounds. The reason I'm excited about teaching this tonight is because He's healed many of mine. Man, I've had to work through some stuff. But God can do it. And I'm not going to talk to you out of a book today. I'm going to tell you stuff from my life that I've seen at steps that worked for me, where God came through and He was there. And He's always there. Some of our hidden wounds could be from the past, can be addictions or abuse from when we were children. Hatred, prejudice, sin, criticism, shame from our sin, guilt. Those are wounds. Those are things that are real things in our life. That's a real emotional scar. And lots of times, emotional scars are way harder to get over than a physical wound. And that's displayed in some of our armed forces. Guys come back from being fighting in wars, and they might heal up from what they got hurt, a physical wound, but for years and years and years and years, they're trying to work through the emotional scars. I'm sure there's probably a clicker here somewhere. But I don't see it. I don't know if you guys have the clicker up there. Look at that, Hayden. You're on it, brother. So let's go on. I believe there's 5 steps towards healing our wounds. You have a handout inside your bulletin that you can go along with me, and some of the fill in the blanks. But in Exodus 15, God promises that I am the God who heals. God promises that. And I think that we have to put our arms around that promise. We have to believe that God can heal us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're in, that God can heal us. We have to put our hope in that. You know, when I was about 15 years old, And I grew up in a little town in Iowa, and I was with some buddies, and we were buying a keg of beer, And we were at this place where you could buy beer. It's like a gas station, and they had an air hose there. And I don't know if you've ever seen one that had like a spring in the middle, about that long. And then the hose was up. It had an arm on it, and the air hose came on for filling your tires with air or whatever. And I thought I was a pretty cool cucumber, so I was going to climb up on it and just kind of jump on it and swing around and woo, wave to all my friends. I thought it would be kind of like a merry-go-round, and I'd think I was really cool. But when I grabbed a hold of it, it just came straight down, and I landed on the hook that the hose was wrapped around. It just, whoa! And I looked at my buddies, and they were going, "You okay? You don't look so good. Are you okay?" I said, "I can't get off here. Help me, help me." So one of my buddies, the biggest, strongest one, his name was Randy, came over, and he said, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "Lift me off the hook." So he did. He lifted me up off the hook, and I'm standing there, and they're all my buddies are just staring at me, like, you know, what's he going to do now? And I said, "Take me to my mom's house right now." I said, "Are you okay?" "I don't know, but you need to take me to my mom's house right now." So they put me in the car and raced to my mom's house, and I was hurting. I went in, and my mom was long distance to my sister, and I said, "Mom, you have to take me to the hospital right now." She said, "Oh, just sit down, honey. You'll be okay." I said, "No, you don't understand. You got to take me to the hospital right now." She goes, "Well, just show me." "Oh, you don't want to see this one, Mom." You know, and finally I went and I showed it to her, and she's like, her face freaked me out more than anything. She's like, because I had, it was a bad thing. And she raced me to the emergency room and went in there, and they started stitching me up. And they stitched for over an hour. I had 103 stitches in a place where only boys can get stitches. And I was in the hospital for a couple days, and it was just a brutal thing. But three kids later, I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. But the first thing I had to do was reveal it. I had to show it. And that was what that illustration was for. I love telling that story because guys just kind of like, "Oh, did that really happen?" But I had to reveal it. And, you know, we have to reveal our wounds. We can't just keep stuff bottled up inside. And that's a big part of it. We have to be honest with God, yourself, and someone who you trust. You got to be honest with yourself that, hey, this is an issue here. I've got a wound. I've got a problem that I need to deal with. So we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with God and cry out to God. "God, why am I stuck with this addiction? Why?" God wants all of your emotions. He wants you to have a real relationship with Him. He wants you to come to Him. He is the healer. And you need to find someone who loves God more than they love you. Someone who loves you, but they love God more than they love you. And ask Him to help you with it. That's step one. Psalm says, "But when I was silent," David said this, "but when I was silent still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased." Boy, if we keep things bottled up, and it just goes on, those scars and on and on, we're living in them. Our past wounds, it keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. It's haunting us. We need to address it. Hurts don't heal, but fester when they are hidden. Isn't that the truth? Don't we all know somebody like that? Somebody kind of like this Coke bottle, who you just know one of these days are going to blow. You know what I mean? Someone just kind of like a Coke bottle. They've been hiding it in for years and years, and then you never know when it's going to blow. Don't you know somebody like that? I used to be like that. I used to be like on a trigger, man, and you just never knew when it was going to blow. You never knew, Brian. But, I won't do it. It's tempting, but I won't. Don't you know somebody like that? Boy, I sure do. I know a lot of people like that. And like I said, I used to be like that. I've had to work through a lot of things. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
That's the God we love. That's the God we sung to tonight. That's the God that Zach was so excited about. That's the God that I'm so excited about. Because He's so good at healing wounds. He's taken such good care of me. He's helped me work through stuff that nobody else could but my God. Only my God can fix some of those things. And that's the same with you. Step two is that you need to release anyone who has hurt you before. It's not your duty to settle the score. Bitterness can be passed on from generation to generation. Some of you may be bitter from something that your parents went through that they handed off to you. Do you believe that? I truly believe that. I know people like that that are still complaining about their great uncle so-and-so because they did something to my father. That bitterness. Man, you don't want to live with that bitterness. You got to get it out. Stop the misery. We got to forgive like Jesus forgave you when He died on a cross as a replacement for your sin so you could have eternal life with Him. Resentment poisons those around me. So if you got stuff in you, emotional scars, stuff from the past, abuse from a parent or a loved one, because lots of times that's where it comes from, your family or the workplace or the play place. Somebody called you stupid or you've been abused or on and on and on. Those wounds are real. They're with you and they need to be addressed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. See to it that no bitter root grows up in you. Do you have a bitter root growing up inside you? I know a lot of people that do. You're just wounded. That can be addressed. God can heal that. You don't have to hide it. And lots of us do try to hide it with different things. With drugs, sex, alcohol, rock and roll, anything that we can replace it. We try to hide it. We must let go of the right to get even. We must let go of the right to get even. You might think, well, that person doesn't deserve it. They do not deserve me not getting even with them. Well, neither do you. You did not deserve what Jesus Christ did for you. He died for you. And He's teaching us a lesson in forgiveness that we are to follow. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. That forgiveness has to happen for you to experience freedom in your life. I must get well or get even. You can't do both. And maybe the question is, do you really want to get well? Forgiveness is a huge part of getting past your hidden wounds. You need to forgive like Jesus did. And I know that can be really hard sometimes and you can't understand it. But that's a step that we can learn from Jesus Christ. How He went to the cross for us. He didn't deserve all the stripes and whippings and beatings. He was not guilty, for goodness sakes. But He forgave us because He loved us. And He set that example for me and you. For us to show other people forgiveness. To learn from what He did. Forgiveness is the only way. I just want to drive this home. I don't know what happened to you. And my goodness, I'm so sorry if you're still dealing with stuff. But you got to get past it. Got to get past it. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. I love the rain, don't you? It's so cool. Just to hang out and drink a little martini thing. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Anything anyone ever did to you
has not been hidden. God saw it. God saw the whole thing. God is the judge. God will take care of it. I don't want to be the guy that has to answer to God for some of the things that have happened in your life. God is the judge. Let Him take care of it. Turn it over to Him. He's a just God. He'll make sure that the right punishment is laid down. You got to replace old tapes with God's truth. You see, our brain is like a tape recorder, isn't it? And our brain records everything. Our brain doesn't distinguish between right or wrong. It records everything. Everything that's ever happened to you. Someone called you a dummy, or worthless, or lazy, or stupid, or an idiot. Your mind records that. All the things that you've done in your life, your five senses, taste, smell, touch, hearing, your mind is recording that. So you have all this information. But some of it is bad information. And you need to replace the old tapes with good information from God. God's truth. We need to purge our minds. Turn your life over to Jesus Christ because He sees you as unblemished. So you might not see yourself as unblemished from years and years, or I don't know what. Everybody has different baggage, different things that have happened to them in their life. And maybe it's shame from some sin that you can't seem to break hold of, break free of. Some type of stronghold that's just holding you down, keeping you in a corner. Shame or guilt, or someone all your life told you, you're a worthless kid. You are a worthless kid. You're just a dummy. You're lazy, you know. I know a lot of us didn't have perfect parents. I know I didn't. And there's a lot of things. Wow. Isn't that cool? Makes you have to go to the bathroom. But there's a lot of things in our minds. And we can begin to believe them. Well, maybe my dad was right. Maybe I really am lazy and worthless and stupid. Because I just blew it with my girlfriend. I just blew it with my wife. She wants to divorce me. Maybe I really am that person. You've got to replace that with God's truth. There's a couple ways to do that. Pray for God's healing. James 5:16 is a fantastic verse. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So that you may be healed. So that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's how it all starts. Pray, God, help me with this. Help me with this stronghold. Help me with this wound that I've had for years and years and years and years. God, break me free from that. Please, God, show me a way out of this. God, show me your plan for the future, what you really have, the good stuff. Show it to me, God, because I'm sick and tired of the rotten stuff. God, go and pray to your God. Give Him the hard stuff. Yell at Him. Cry with Him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever cried in your prayers? That's the type of relationship I'm talking about you want to have with your God. That He's right there and you turn to Him with every little complaint, every tear. You know that God keeps a record of your tears? He knows everything that's ever happened to you. And He promises, I am the God who heals. I will heal you. I will wipe away your tears. Fill your mind with truth. And I don't care how you do it. You read, audio, visual, somehow get the Word of God in your mind. Christian music, daily reading, prayer, get that in your mind. Purge out all of that junk. Erase the old tapes and fill them with good stuff. I've had to do that, and I've had to work hard at it. I've had to work hard at getting good information because I got fed so much bad information over my lifetime.
purge that out with God's truth. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you speaking? What's coming out of your mouth? It's a good litmus test. Is it God's word or is it your anger? Or are you blowing off about something? Fill up with good so what comes out is good. My daughter Kelsey wrote a song. I'm going to ask her and Hayden to come up now. She's going to write. They're going to sing it for you. When she first showed me this song and sang it for me, I cried. Because what I'm talking about here, about a relationship with God that's real and loving, is what she's singing about in this song. I want to read the words to you. It's called Victorious. I imagine all the world disappearing and all I'm hearing is you. I imagine all my fears are nothing and all I cling to is you. Every word I say, I want to come from you. I don't want to interfere. Everything I do, I want to be a gift from you. I want to follow you. I want everything in my life to be as worship in your sight. I give you my desires and everything in my heart. Mold me. I will shout for joy. I will shout victorious. For you have me. I'm going to let her play this song for us. But that's the kind of relationship with God I'm talking about. Make it real. Make it a love affair. Give everything you have to it. Pour yourself into God and see what happens.
Thank you. I think God was giving you a standing ovation. Oh, there it is again. He's not done yet. Yowzers. I love the way it gives standing ovations. Let's move on. Point number four, steps towards healing my wounds, is to refocus on the future. When you focus on the past, you can become stuck there. We need to stop focusing on our wounds. Does it keep coming up? Do you keep talking about it? Does it keep coming up? Do you keep hearing about it? Can you get past it or not? That's kind of a flag right there. If it keeps coming up, there's a wound that's there and it needs work. It needs attention. It's flaring up. Is it an addiction that you can't seem to walk away from? Well, if you have to continue to address it, you are not addressing it. That if you devote your heart to Him and stretch out your hands to Him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Job certainly had some troubles that he had to get past. We can learn from Job. My past is not my future. Can you all say that with me? My past is not my future. One more time. My past is not my future. I'll tell you what, if you're involved in secular counseling and you keep going to the past and you keep going to the past and this is non-biblical, if you're not going to Christian counseling, and I'm talking about biblical counseling for your problems, run away from it as fast as you can. Get out of it. Go away. Find some good biblical counseling and get out of the past and start looking to the future. I know so many people that get hung up on their past and they're living there and they're not coming out of it. My past is not my future. Let your eyes look straight ahead, it tells us in Proverbs. Fix your gaze directly before you. My goodness, if you have to go to some counseling, do some research and find somebody. There might be someone that says they're a Christian, but still check them out further than that. Make sure that the advice that you're going to, that you're basing your recovery on, is biblical. Period. And then again, do you really want to get well? The world can only offer temporary painkillers. They don't last. They're addicting. They never solve the problem. Stop going to quick fixes. I don't know if it's going to let me get past this little virus thingy. Here we go. If I focus on Jesus Christ with all my life. And that's what that song was about that Kelsey sang. And that's available to each and every one of you to pour your life into Christ, to finding out about Christ, to receiving Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. He died on a cross for you. He forgave you of your sins so that you can have eternal life with Him. Focus your life on that. Get to know Him. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He's the vine. Stay hooked up to the vine. You got to be hooked up to the vine. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. Nothing. Apart from me, he can do nothing. I don't need to read any farther. I don't know about you guys. Apart from me, he can do nothing. Need to set up some priorities, and Jesus Christ needs to be your top priority. Get to know him. Start a relationship with him. Find somebody you can talk to about him. Read about him. Listen to his word in songs. Purge your brain. Just submerge yourself in him. There's another good brother, Scott Sullivan, a friend of mine, and he was going to give a little testimony tonight. But he's the guy I took to the airport, him and his family, they're on their way to Portland. But we're going to play a little DVD that Andy Wiebe put together that I think, are we going to be able to do that? Or did the lightning get us? Oh, we're not going to do that. But anyway, Scott's had to deal with some things, quite a few things, and we'll save that for another time. But what happened, see, when Scott gives his testimony, he talks about the wounds he's had to deal with and how God has come in and helped him to work through those wounds, and that he's beginning to reach out to help others. See, that's part of the healing process. That's a huge part of the healing process. Once you get out of the past, you start focusing on the future, and someone comes along and says, you know what, I've dealt with this, I'm dealing with this, I don't know what to do. God has helped me through that. Let me tell you what, I don't know a whole lot of things, but I know how God helped me through this particular stronghold. And I have so many of them that I've been able to help a lot of people with that. Oh yeah, I did that. Let's talk about that. But that's how you start to know that God is working in you. You're starting to talk to other people about it and help them. I like this 2 Corinthians, these verses. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That's what I'm talking about, with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Those are good verses. How do I know if I'm being healed? When I start sharing the cure. That's a good litmus test for you. If you know if you're starting to be healed, if God's working in your life, if He's starting to change you, if He's starting to heal the wound, if it's getting dressed, if you're growing, if you're changing, if you stop talking about that thing that you're struggling with every single day, and you start pouring your life into others, that is a very good sign. Because that means you're starting to heal. You've figured it out. You've gotten past that. You're looking to the future and you're looking to help others. Because quite honestly, this life is kind of like a disaster area. And people just are constantly dealing with stuff, myself included. It's just all kinds of things that hurt us. Emotional scars from the past, addictions, strongholds, things that just entangle us and hold us down. God wants to free you from that. There's really five steps that I'm going to go back through. Reveal my hurt or hurts. That was the first step. So you got to reveal your hurt or hurts to God, to yourself. Got to admit, hey, I've got a problem here that needs addressing. Something's broken. Something's not quite right. To God, yourself, and to someone who loves God more than they love you. They love you, but they love God more than you. So they'll give you good, sound counsel and can help you with it and tell you where to go. But you got to show them the wound. You got to say, here it is. Look at that thing. Help me with it. What should I do? Before you can start to repair it and heal from it. Got to release those who have hurt me. That's over. That's in the past. That's in the past. Forgive them. Get past that. Forgive them like Jesus Christ forgave you and died on a cross for you. That's in the past. Release those that have hurt you. Got to let it go. Replace the old tapes with God's truth. Remember, our mind's like a tape recorder, and it has everything in there. The good, the bad, the ugly, the disgusting. It's all been recorded.
I've had to purge so much stuff. Every once in a while, one of those old tapes will come up and I'll go, wow, where did that come from? Purge your mind with good stuff. Get God's Word into your heart. Read it every day. Listen to good, healthy stuff. Lots of us commute to and from work. That's where I have done a lot of growing. In my time in Colorado, I used to drive to Denver. Be like an hour, over an hour drive every day. I listen to truth. And there's so many teachers out there today that are just awesome. God has blessed this world with good people out there. You can get fed. Don't think that this is the only place you can ever get fed, because, man, you got to feed yourself. You're going to starve if you're just coming here to get fed. There's lots of stuff out there. Take the initiative and feed yourself and get stronger. Refocus on the future. My past is not my future. Refocus on your future. And finally, reach out to help others. God will redeem your pain. God will redeem your pain and use it. I've always thought to myself, there's got to be some reason I went through all of the stuff I did. Man, I hope I can help them use that stuff somehow. Oh, you better believe it, because there's people in a church this size, between our two churches, there's a lot of people that are struggling with the same things that you are. You are not alone. And somehow, our staff, Pastor Bill and I, we'll do whatever we can to get you pointed in the right direction of healing. If somebody can help you. If we can help you, we'll try to help you. My counsel is basically pray and get in the Word. And put yourself under accountability. I say that over and over and over and over again to different people I meet. It's really that simple. God wants to heal you of your wounds. He wants better things for you. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God wants the best for you. And yeah, sometimes this life looks like a war zone. Honestly, I feel like that nurse a lot of the time. I'll just think, God, all these people are lost and going to hell. It scares me. God says, I've got it under control, Steve. It's not up to you to do it. I am the God that does it. So just keep your eyes on me. Look at me. Look at God. He is the healer. He's the comforter. He's the God we can trust. He is faithful. Faithful. He always comes through. He's the God of promises. Every promise you read in His Word is true. And you can put your arms around it and say, oh, look what that says. He promises to do this for me, to heal me. Yes, He does. And He'll come through. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what scars you have or what sin you've committed, or even how you are. There's healing available to you today. God is reaching for you. He wants to heal you. See, God wants the best for you. He looks at you as unblemished children. You are perfect in God's eyes. There is no flaw. And those old tapes, that stuff maybe you've heard in the past, that's a lie. Turn to God and live out the life that He really wants you to live out. Let's close with prayer. God, I thank You that You are the God that heals. I thank You, God, that You are the comforter. I thank You, God, that You love me so much that I can't even understand it. I can't even comprehend how big You are, God. But I'm glad You're driving and I'm just riding along. God, can I put my trust in You? Because I've tried to put my trust in the world and addictions and all kinds of other things, God, and they just all failed me. But God, You have never failed me. And You answer prayer after prayer after prayer. Maybe not necessarily exactly how I wanted them answered, but the right way. You're a righteous God. You're a just God. And You want the best for me, God. And You know how to discipline me. You know how to build my character. You know how to change me into the man You want me to be. I pray that for everybody here, God, that we would turn to You and ask You, please, God, please, change me into the man or woman or child You want me to be. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.